Let's come to God's Word and let's go to the book of Matthew in chapter 5. Read again those first four verses of Matthew 5. We will just be this Lord's Day today in this third beatitude of our Lord. Matthew chapter 5 and the first four verses. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he, that is Jesus, opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And today, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." As we come to our study of the Beatitudes today, let's take a moment to remind ourselves of the context of Matthew 5 so we can be clear about the purpose of these Beatitudes. We do not study these Beatitudes just to fill our heads with a notion or some golden rules to live by, but to guide and regulate our practice. And our blessedness, because each Beatitude starts with the word blessed, this is clearly the end or the goal in sight. So these give us the character of those who are entitled to blessedness. And we mentioned before that these virtues or graces do not come naturally to us. And especially as we come to today, this definitely does not come naturally to us. Neither can they be fabricated or earned in some way, but are fruits or graces given by the Spirit to those who are in Christ. So these eight Beatitudes are our duty and the Spirit's influence to carry out that duty. These are given to us and we must follow and live according to, since they describe the character of the believer in his new life in Christ. And this is better understood if we consider what Jesus was explaining to his disciples, what they are to be and how they are to live in this world. Right here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 we read, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out, trampled underfoot at people's feet. And then you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." To understand how his disciples are to live in this world, Jesus teaches in, if we look at the whole of Matthew 5, that they are to be governed by the moral law of God, which this passage makes clear in two ways. Firstly, Jesus declares not only support for, but the perfect fulfilling of the moral law of God. He does that here in verse 17, 18. Jesus says, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I've come to not abolish them, but to fulfill them. Truly, truly, I say to you, and until heaven and earth passes away, not an iota, not a dot will pass away from the law until all is accomplished." And secondly, Jesus not only says that about the law and the fulfillment of the law, but he actually singles out three of the commandments and he expands on the third and the sixth and the seventh commandment. And we won't go into that today. But as well as explaining the law of love at the end of the chapter and the law of retaliation right at the end of Matthew chapter 5, both having significance for our beatitude today. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And one more thing, and you may have noted this already, that this beatitude, this third beatitude that we come to today, is also a direct fruit of the Spirit. As we see in Galatians chapter 5, and the ESV translates this as gentleness, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness or meekness, self-control, against such thing there is no law. So that's just a little zoom out of the book of Matthew, not to lose focus where the Beatitudes were slotted into for the believer. Well, let's come then to our study today of the third Beatitude. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So our brief study today, our purpose today is really to consider what meekness is. And you may find that point a little disappointing, because perhaps you're expecting this is what meekness is, and I cannot do that. But we will attempt that, and we will. I will give you even a definition, if you like, of meekness. And then we're going to look, secondly, at Psalm 37. And why? Because this is the passage Jesus quotes, is from Psalm 37. And then thirdly, we are going to consider examples of meekness of men in the Scriptures. And in so doing, over these three points, to apply to ourselves this direct fruit, this grace of the Holy Spirit given to us, that is in our lives. So we have three main points today. We observe in the first place, what is meekness? What is meekness? Well, as these Beatitudes progress, we noted that one builds upon the other, and they progress naturally by the grace of the Holy Spirit. And as we see today, they become more difficult to walk by, considering our remaining sin and the influence of the evil one, who would do his utmost to dissuade us in our ability to possess and keep this path of true blessedness promised by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I found this study fairly hard this week, because I do not see much of this meekness in my own heart and life. Let me just recap. It's not possible to be a child of God unless we have become poor in spirit by the consideration of our sin, of our natural state, and the depravity of man in every part of his being. And poverty of spirit in turn leads to a true gospel mourning of our sin as we consider a holy God of the Scriptures, his holiness, his perfect law, our inability to keep it apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And this true gospel mourning leads to the promise of gospel comfort in that mourning, as we find salvation in the God of mercy and in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has atoned for the believer's sin, thus bringing to the believer the promised comfort. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And so as we progress today, we will see that these first two Beatitudes, as wonderful as they are and what they make of us as believers in Christ, they do not lead to and should not lead to pride or arrogance in our newfound faith, but quite the opposite. We have truly mourned our sin. This quality of meekness is so hard because it flies in the face of all modern wisdom of self-assertion, self-confidence. These qualities that are smiled upon and applauded by the world. And in America, we understand that we must be bigger and better and more successful. And these qualities, according to the fallen world, is the undisputed path to success and happiness in this world. And you may say, well, that's not me. Well, I'll ask you to go back to your resume that you wrote, curriculum vitae, we called it in South Africa, to get a new job. Man, you look good on that piece of paper. But this grace and fruit of the Holy Spirit is in direct contrast to the world. And I've seen it in my own grandchildren. You've seen it. You've experienced it from a tender age. Confidence, self-assertion, independence, these are qualities taught essential for any hope of survival in the world in which we live. And yet, what does the Lord Jesus Christ do? He states this great contrary truth: blessed are the meek, for for they shall inherit the earth. Yes, we will have the kingdom of heaven as believers, as promised, but this beatitude also addresses our life on earth. They shall inherit the earth. Christ says to his disciples and to you and me today, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The believer who lives like this has inherited the earth. They have overcome the world by their faith, and they are able to live in it with contentment and peace. And they will one day inherit it as those who with Christ will judge the world. Trying to come up with a definition, a good definition of meekness, I found no better one than in Matthew Henry's commentary. Don't try and write it down, it's a little bit long, but you can go online to Matthew Henry's commentary, Matthew 5 and verse 5, and it's right there. Let me read it to you. The meek are those who quietly submit themselves to God, to his word and his rod, who follow his directions, comply with his designs, and are gentle towards all men, who can bear provocation without being inflamed by it, are either silent or return a soft answer, and who can show their displeasure when there's occasion for it without being transported into any indecencies, who can be cool when others are hot and in their patience keep possession of their own souls when they can scarcely keep possession of anything else. They are the meek who are rarely and hardly provoked and quickly and easily pacified, who would rather forgive 20 injuries than revenge one, having rule of their own spirits. These meek ones are here represented as happy even in the world. Well, at this point, I wanted to start crying. Blessed are the meek, and this represents these things. My friends, if you're here today and you're not a believer, or you're listening online, you may have many things in the world that seem to make you happy. You have many achieved, many successes, perhaps even riches, because of your earthly pursuits, your education, and your abilities. You may be driven by strong ambitions for greatness. And your mother's always told you, you were destined for greatness, my son, success and prosperity because you believe in yourself. But until you have had meekness of spirit produced by the gospel in your life, you will not inherit the earth or the kingdom of God. This earth and all its attractions, its satisfactions, and its sins belong to the devil, the prince of this world. And even with riches and success, you are not able to master it. It masters you. You are its slave. And when your life is over, you will have no inheritance for the future. Your father, the devil, will leave you with nothing but torment and sin and misery. You may leave a good earthly legacy and perhaps great wealth for many generations of your offspring, but you will be without inheritance in life or in death, for only the meek will inherit the earth. Consider also that this blessedness of meekness is the only one that expresses direct temporal promise in the New Testament. We should take it seriously, for it is a blessed condition to be able to live as the meek and inherit the earth. Those who are meek are blessed, for they are like the Lord Jesus, and particularly because we learn it from him. Consider Jesus' words, and you know these, in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. The meek are blessed by God himself, who is Lord of his anger. For he has no fury that is as in man, for he is holy wrath. Matthew Henry expresses it this way: they are blessed, for in Christ they have the most comfortable, undisturbed enjoyment of themselves, their friends, their God, and they are fit for any circumstance, any condition, any company, fit to live and fit to die. They shall inherit the earth. Not that they shall ever have much of it, much less that they should be put off with that only, but this branch of godliness in a special manner, the promise of life that is now. Yes, we've seen those who mourn are blessed. They will inherit the kingdom of God. But we live in this world, and Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. They will live in peace and tranquility on this earth amidst the dangers, amidst the affliction, amidst the sin, and all of these things. Meekness, however ridiculed and run down, has a real tendency to promote health, even wealth, comfort, and safety, even in this world. The meek and quiet are to live the easiest lives compared with the difficult to deal with and turbulent spirits of men in the world. Look at our political system just to see proof of that. So that all the blessedness of heaven above and all the blessings of earth beneath are the portion of the meek. As the scriptures exhort the believers, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. In Proverbs 16 and verse 2, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Well, that's just the beginning of what meekness is. We observe in the second place, meekness in Psalm 37. You may or may not want to open your Bible at that psalm. I'm going to just bullet down some points from that psalm. We consider now that Christ was most likely quoting from Psalm 37, as Christ often does in the New Testament. Consider verse 11 there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. To inherit the land or the earth may seem strange to us, but in the Jewish mind this made sense, and this was quite common. In fact, the Gospel of Matthew was written primarily to Jews. And as in this psalm, the language used throughout the Old Testament, particularly with reference to the land of Canaan, as you may remember, promised to God by his people if they live in obedience to his commands. And though Canaan, both in the Old Testament and New, is used by us as a picture of the kingdom of God in the gospel, the possessing of the land and the subduing of enemies and the living at peace was very much tied to this earth in the minds of the Jewish people. And you may be well aware of those several instances when Jesus describes the coming of his kingdom in the New Testament, and he's interpreted quite incorrectly as establishing a kingdom on this earth by the multitude, by his own family, his disciples, and even, of course, the mother of the sons of Zebedee, James and John, when she goes to Jesus and say, Lord, when you establish your kingdom, please let my boys be one on the right and one on the left in your kingdom. Kingdom, they all thought, which would release them from Roman oppression and give back the land of Israel to them, be able to live in peace and prosperity on this earth. And so Psalm 37, which Jesus quotes, this meekness that should be in his disciples carries the promise of the inheritance of the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In this psalm, those who inherit the land are those who are meek, in verse 11, as we see. And when we look closer at the psalm, the phrase shall inherit the land is repeated a number of times in the psalm, and this is promised to the meek. And as you read the psalm, these meek qualities are defined and explained so that we can also see what meekness looks like. The meek, those who inherit the land, are those who wait patiently for the Lord. There are those who trust in the Lord and do good. There are those who refrain from anger and forsake wrath. As Proverbs 19:11 says, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. And even in correcting our opponents, as Paul explains in 2 Timothy 2:25, correcting his opponents with gentleness. Those who are meek and delight themselves in abundant peace. The meek are those who are righteous, the one who is generous and gives, the psalm tells us. These are those who are blessed by the Lord and will inherit the land. Job 27:6, I hold fast my righteousness and will not let it go. My heart does not reproach me for many days. Who are the meek? Again, the psalm says, they are those who delight in the Lord. And though they fall, they'll not be cast down headlong, because the Lord will uphold him with his hand. And again, those who are righteous shall inherit the land. So it's good to go back to where Jesus is quoting from and see there in the psalm, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Thirdly and finally, men of meekness in the scriptures. And I hope by the time we're finished that we put all these things together, because it's so hard to quantify meekness, that we will have a good understanding of that grace of the Holy Spirit and how we can nurture that quality, that grace of meekness. Thirdly, men of meekness in the scriptures. Now, given that grace and of meekness is an attitude of a heart, a disposition of the soul, if you like, and it shows itself in many and varied ways, it's good to examine examples in the scriptures. And you can find so many, but I've tried to select ones that are more obvious and prominent examples to assist us understand what meekness looks like. Consider Abraham. Abraham, first of all, if we look at the life of Abraham, we see a great, wonderful portrait of meekness. It's a great characteristic of his life of faith. A man who simply believed God. That's what he was known for. Abraham believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. In Genesis 13, there's a great example we see in Abraham's dealings with the younger man Lot, the son of his brother. Though Abraham was older and wiser and had much more wealth than Lot, although Lot was a wealthy man, well, their herdsmen started to clash and conflict because their livestock was so great, their wealth was so good, they decided they needed to part ways. Abraham allows the younger man to assert himself and take the first choice. And so he chooses the valleys of Jordan. But we know where that went, straight towards Sodom and Gomorrah. But the point is, Abraham let the younger man choose, and choose the better portion, it seemed, without so much as a murmur or complaint. That is meekness. Consider Moses. And here's a prime example, because the scriptures speak of him in Numbers 12, verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all the people who were on the face of this earth. When we examine his character, we see the same thing. The low view of himself, his reluctance to assert himself, but he would rather humble and abase himself. Meekness, even with all the possibilities of Pharaoh and Pharaoh's court before him, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But when he came to evaluate it all and see, saw what it was, he humbled himself completely to the will of God. The same thing can be said of David, the great David, King David, and especially in his relationship with Saul. You may remember, David knew he was to be king. He'd already been chosen. He was told and he'd been anointed. And yet, day after day, he suffered Paul's unjust, unkind treatment of himself with all meekness and self-restraint. Jeremiah, you remember Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, with the unpopular message given to him. He was called to speak the truth to his people, not the thing he wanted to do at all, especially while all the other prophets were saying smooth and easy things. He was isolated. And today Jeremiah would probably have been called uncooperative. He's the uncooperative minister because he did not say what everybody else would say. But he suffered it all. He allowed unkind things to be said about him behind his back. And he just went on delivering his message faithfully. It's a wonderful example of meekness. That's the Old Testament. We come to the New Testament. We consider Stephen, the first martyr, who humbly, with joy and even anticipation, suffered as the first martyr. And of course, Paul, that mighty man of God, and what he suffered at the hands even of the other churches, the hands of his own countrymen. Yet when we read his letters, especially the letters to the Corinthians, we see particularly in those letters who had said such disparaging things about them, Paul is displaying meekness. He considered everything that the world extolled in Israel at that time. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He had great learning and prestige in the church, in the world. He was a Roman citizen. All this, he says, I consider it dross for the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, being his servant, suffering for him. This to Paul was surpassing joy. It's a wonderful example of meekness. And I've left the last, the best till last, of course. We come to the supreme example, that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to me, all you that labor. I will give you rest. I am meek and lowly in heart. Christ's whole life exhibited great meekness. In his reaction to people, the way he suffered persecution and scorn, sarcasm and ridicule. Rightly, Isaiah prophesied him in Isaiah 42 and verse 3, a bruised reed he will not break, the weakest of people, a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth judgment. For I am meek and lowly in heart, even his attitudes towards his enemies, but perhaps above all, his utter submission to his Father in heaven. We've seen this in the Gospel of John. The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. And Paul tells us in Philippians 2 that Christ, though he was equal with God, he did not consider the right to clutch to and to hold on to that at all costs, but rather he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form. He humbled himself further by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. How Christ was meek in utter submission to his Father, when in truth he was very God. But for a season, for our sakes, he took on humility and meekness in his person. That is meekness. That is lowliness. That is true humility. And that is the quality which Christ is teaching in these words. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In Paul's letter to Titus, he gives him this advice as one between the lines who would show meekness and success in inheriting the earth. Paul says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authority. what that is meekness? To be obedient, yes, that is meekness. To be ready for every good work, yes, that is meekness. To speak evil of no one, even when they deserve it, that is meekness. To avoid quarreling. And the husbands are saying, my wife, this is good. These are good qualities for my wife. No, brothers and sisters, we in the home must exhibit the meekness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak evil to no one. Avoid quarreling. To be gentle. To show perfect courtesy to all. Do you understand why this means inheriting the earth? That we can live in a sinful, wicked world full of turmoil and wicked men, men who prosper, men who rise, and men who fall, and the believer is content, and he lives at peace with God and with all people. He's not quarrelsome or rude. He does not speak evil. That, brothers and sisters, is true meekness. What is meekness but a gentle and quiet nature? Oh, I long for this quality to be in my life even more as a rude and obnoxious South African. 1 Peter 3 verse 4, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's eyes is very precious. This is true blessedness. Meekness of spirit is truly inheriting the earth. Just a glance at what is going on in the world every day is sure proof that only the meek can make it, can by God's Spirit master and inherit the earth. Meekness is a grace and a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Meekness must be evident in the child of God without exception. Meekness is a cloak given by God to be put on daily. You wouldn't dare start with your day without clothing yourself first. You don't fetch your newspaper before you've clothed yourself. So we dare not live a day in this world without clothing ourselves with meekness, the meekness of gospel grace. Colossians 3, listen to this. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy, beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, let's go complain. Forgive one another. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. In conclusion, let's just ask this question. How can I take a hold of, possess, and nurture this excellent grace of the Spirit, this fruit of the Spirit of meekness? And I just have two suggestions. Number one, go to the Scriptures. Go to the Scriptures and especially look at the meekness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here, where is the secret of true blessedness? Where is the wisdom and the grace to produce best blessedness and meekness? It is found in the Word planted by the Spirit in the heart. Consider James 1:22. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Go to the Word of God and see there this grace of meekness. And secondly, pray earnestly for meekness of spirit. Pray earnestly for meekness of spirit. God, as we know, is described in the Scriptures as the God of all grace in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace who's called you to eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. If meekness is a grace of the Holy Spirit, go to God. Go to Christ in prayer. Petition the Trinity at the throne of grace, and you will find help in your time of need. Brothers and sisters, we need meekness Go to Christ. Go to the Trinity. Petition them there at the throne of grace. Pray earnestly. Pray sincerely. Pray expecting and preparing to receive this humbling, self-abasing, and Christ-exalting quality of meekness that you may adorn your heart and glorify your Savior. And in it, your promised true blessedness in this life and in the next. Because blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, we are ashamed when we look at our lives and see how far short we fall of your glory. Lord, how we thank you that this meekness is a gift, is a fruit, is a grace of the Holy Spirit, and we pray that we may desire it, that we may put off arrogance and boasting, that we may live peaceably and gently among all people. Oh Lord, help us to consider you our Savior, who humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even as God Almighty. For a season you humbled yourself, were obedient to your Heavenly Father. Oh Lord, help us to desire greater meekness. Help us to find it in your word, that we may adorn our hearts and give glory to our Savior, our prime example of meekness, and that men may give glory to you because of the work of the Spirit in our hearts. Oh Lord, we pray these things with thanksgiving and great joy in Christ's name. Amen.